Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog, Side Pig, Tadpig, Other Shit Monday podcast. Show that happens twice a week where two old guys talk about old games. Today, before we get into our long-winded, you know, anecdotes about ourselves that most people find humorous, today we're sort of starting a semi-series.
I wouldn't say most people.
Some people. a series were just games that we just like. They're not on the list. They're not really, you know, just games that we just personally, we grew up on that we like.
To be fair, this game doesn't belong in the list.
You know, well, it's an NES game.
Because it's not a Super Nintendo game. Yeah. Right.
Because I guess it started with Little Nemo. So now we're just doing like a series, games that Dave really liked when he was little.
I would say loves. It's fair to say
games that loves,
and not when I was little. I still love these games. So it's just episode two and the games Dave loves series.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah, that's good. Okay. That's good. Because you love it. What is it?
It is controversial, my love. Mm. It's kind of like when I'm out with this game, people sometimes I notice they stare at me. And fuck that, because they shouldn't judge me for loving this game. It is Super Mario Brothers 2, which is my favorite. That's right. And I'm not afraid to say it, Tyler. I'm not afraid to say it. It is my favorite Mario Brothers game for the Nintendo. Mm.
That's the only competition there really being three.
That's some stiff fucking competition, though, because you're up against the original and you're up against everyone's favorite Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm not going to lie, that's a better game than Super Mario Brothers 2. Not my favorite, though. Mm-hmm. Not my favorite.
You like the underdog.
Not only do I like the underdog, I appreciate games that are batshit crazy and playable. Because those two things, that's pretty rare to get those to overlap. Because you see a whole bunch of games that are just absurd as fuck, but you can't play them because they're barely a game. They barely function.
Yeah.
Super Mario Brothers 2, Earthworm Jim. I mean, all those kinds of games, they function on both levels.
Mm. All right, so before we really delve into it.
We already have. Already have. Episode over. Thanks for listening, everybody.
I'm your bearded host, Tyler. And the first time that I had the gumption, the balls to try and kiss a girl was in the sixth grade.
That's all right. Okay, so we're telling those kinds of stories.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
I'm going to get mine ready.
And the girl that I had that I was trying to kiss, I didn't know her until 2 weeks prior when I had we'd had rotation classes and her and I were in this class together and she just started writing me notes all of a sudden.
What are rotation classes?
It's you do 3 weeks in some kind of arts, then you go to another class and it's 3 weeks in some other kind of.
Is that to keep the nutrients in your soil?
I think so, yeah. It's where we could do soybeans 1 week, and then we just barren 1 week.
Okay.
No, it was a segment where you do writing, and then another where you do music, and another. And we happened to be in one of those together.
Okay.
She started writing me notes. I started writing her back. I was like, oh, a girl is paying attention to me. I'm in love with her. So that's how that went. Uh-huh. And then, of course, she had one of her friends was one of the girls who was really talkative and really energetic and really excited that her friend liked somebody. So then she instrumented us going from exchanging notes to calling each other. And then, we were boyfriend and girlfriend.
So it worked out.
So it worked out to an extent because I decided I wanted to kiss her. And I told one of her friends, I'm going to make a move tonight at the Beta Club dance. So in middle school out in the commons.
Where all the moves
Beta
happen.
Club, yeah, exactly. And we were all together in a little group and I was sitting beside her at the Beta Club dance. And of course I did the only thing you have to go off on then at that point is stuff you see on TV. So I did the yawn and I put my arm around her and she giggled and thought that was funny. Mm. And then I moved up to holding her hand and she was nervous. Her hands were just sweaty. Looked like we had taken baths because we're all pruny, just holding hands. And then I'm about to kiss her, but cheerleading tryouts are like next week.
Okay, I want to hear how you connect these two things.
Well, she and all her friends, they all wanted to be cheerleaders. Okay. All wanted to be cheerleaders so badly. So I'm about to kiss her, and then like I'm moving in, like she doesn't really see me, but suddenly like as I'm about to do it, she just jumps up and runs outside and starts doing like cartwheels and flips.
The fuck?
So they all the girls, they were like a band club dance. Everybody's dancing. All of a
sudden, did they have a signal or anything, or like do they have their watches synchronized?
I don't know.
Oh fuck! It's 8 o'clock, and then she just cartwheels out of the gymnasium.
If a boy tries to kiss me, we're going and doing flips. So no, they just all of a sudden just decided, okay, forget this whole hanging out with boys and doing the dance. We want to go practice for cheerleader tryouts at 9 o'clock on a Friday night out in front of the school in the yard. So then I just go out like, okay, I guess I'm not getting my first kiss tonight. And she just, they all do round offs and cartwheels and front back tucks and all the cheerleader moves. And I'm sure Nicole will, she was a cheerleader, she'll be screaming things right now. But
and thus began your lifelong journey of masturbation.
Yep. Yep.
I'm Dave, your bespectacled host. And I have an overwhelming fear of mouths. So I've never kissed another human.
Mm.
That's an interesting fact about me. Also, I just started drinking coffee. I had a lengthy conversation with you, Tyler, before we started the show. I never was a coffee drinker. I always hated it. Loved the smell. And then as part of like a New Year's resolution, I was like, done with sodas, dog. I'm done. I'm free. I cut the cord with the cable company. Sorry, Coca-Cola, doing the same with you, unless you decide to...
Should have ran that Super Bowl ad.
See, I haven't even seen that. I've heard people talk about that.
Oh, God.
I haven't seen the Coke Super Bowl ad. You want to make the episode about that instead?
We could. Because as soon as we watch the Super Bowl at my house, and then they have that commercial, and then Nicola's on her phone, and she starts immediately reading her Facebook feed about people who are so angry about the Super Bowl commercial.
I saw on Reddit a lot of people were... either angry or they were making fun of the people who were angry.
I'm in the latter party.
Okay. I don't know what's going on, and I'm going to stay that way.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll join this conversation 2 years from now.
Okay, that's fair.
I forgot the Super Bowl was this past Sunday, so I'm sure you sent me a text asking if I wanted to hang out. And yeah.
I made a whole bunch of barbecue, and then only Josh and Nicole came over.
I forgot.
So I've been eating so much barbecue.
I forgot it was the Super Bowl. sorry, man. I guess that explains why you've been really cold to me this week. It also explains the barbecue sweats that you have right now.
Yes.
So anyway, never liked coffee, but I cut the cord with Coca-Cola until they become a sponsor of the show. Then I'll gladly accept them back into my heart. So I've just been doing the water thing, and then it's been really cold here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I started drinking hot tea, and then I thought, you know what? Fuck it. Let's try coffee out. I tried it. Apparently, it was some good shit, and I drank it. I was like, you know what? That's not that good. I think I'll be okay without coffee for the rest of my life. Cut to 15 minutes later, where I'm like, holy God, this feels amazing. It was like I awoke.
It's out of the Matrix, you finally just set up.
Right, exactly. Because I've had energy drinks before, right? I used to drink three fucking rock stars a day, which I hear is not a healthy decision to make. But that didn't nothing compared to this now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if I'm extra excitable on this episode, that is why.
It's because you've had nine cups of coffee today?
I have had 8 cups of coffee today. Yeah. How much does a regular person drink?
I feel like I drink a little more than average, and I have 3.
Holy God. All right. So if I'm not on the show in 3 weeks from now, it's because I've died. Yep. I've just pushed it to the fucking limit.
I'm not going
to
tell anybody, though. I'm just gonna be Dave's not really feeling up to it. I'm going to do that for 14 years.
I've either died from a caffeine overdose or Nikki's killed me because I haven't kissed her the whole time that we've been together.
See, I enjoy giving, whenever they hang out, we give Josh and Nicole a Bummerman fame. Give Nicole a bunch of Diet Dr. Pepper, and then all she does is stay up all night talking to Josh, and it makes him really mad.
Nikki knew.
Because every time I bring in a 2-liter, she lights up and he just glares at me.
Nikki knew something was up the other night when it was 10 o'clock and I was just talking. Just about like coffee removes the filter. Like I've got a filter where I like censor myself and I'm like, I analyze, is this an important thing to say? And like coffee just gets rid of that. Cause I'm just like, I'm like 5 years old. I'm like looking around.
Dogs are brown.
Dogs are brown. Exactly.
What is it, David? What do you have to say?
What's that? That's Louis C.K. we're ripping
off? Yeah, we're not going to say it. Yeah, we got to give him credit. All right.
Okay.
Super Mario Brothers 2 for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah, if you've hung in with us this long, we'll finally talk about the game. Mm-hmm.
It's only been 10 minutes. We're good.
Okay. Whew.
We have 50 minutes to talk about the game.
This is a good game. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to... you want me to give you the elevator pitch? Or do you want me to? You want me to do a little segment?
We should probably do a little segment.
All right,
probably do a little segment.
Do I hear a train? I can't. I'm not sure.
Chew.
All right.
It's a smooth train. It's a smooth operator.
I like it. I dig it. Holy man, this is a long ass Wikipedia entry. But here we go. I may cut it short.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll be here all night. Okay, guys. Super Mario Brothers 2, not to be confused with Mario Brothers 2, the game titled Super Mario Brothers 2 in Japan. Or New Super Mario Brothers 2. Mm-hmm. It's none of those games. It is a 1988 platform game developed and published by Nintendo for the Nintendo Entertainment System. It's a sequel to the 1985 game Super Mario Brothers. They don't get into that yet. The game was first released in North America on October 10th, 1988. Super Mario Brothers 2 has been remade or re-released for several video game consoles. Okay, now here's where it gets interesting.
This game has a lot of mythos behind it.
It does. This is like if H.P. Lovecraft made a game, but not really. It was initially proposed as a demo for a vertically scrolling two-player co-op game that was scrapped. And that is, all right, let me stick to the material.
Okay.
It was intended to be the sequel to Super Mario Brothers, but also a radical departure from the previous Mario game. Mm. As at the time, the gameplay of the Mario series was not yet standardized.
So they didn't know what they wanted to be. It could be anything.
They didn't. They saw the horizon in front of them with the pioneer spirit, and Sacagawea just ferried them over to...
just throwing her golden dollar that she was notorious for. Right. That's when she first met... Lewis and Clark,
Batman?
Did they meet Sacagawea?
Yeah. It's Lewis and Clark. What did I say? Batman?
Batman. Batman first met Sacagawea.
Someone write that, please. No, yada, yada, yada. Wikipedia, come on, you're dragging on. The reasons for scrapping the original prototype included the technical limitations of the NES hardware. It made it too difficult for them to polish. It was decided to add more Mario-like elements to this game, though to make it more horizontal, but they kept a lot of the vertical elements to it. And then they decided, let's use this demo to tie in to a Fuji television company in Japan, and we'll release it as Yume Kojo Doki Doki Panic. however, let's release it. This is exactly what Wikipedia says, by the way. Mm-hmm. However, let's release it in North America as Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah.
We'll just take all the Arabian Nights theme stuff. Not all of it. We'll take the four Arabian Nights looking characters and make a Mario, Luigi, Toad, and Princess.
Mm.
Which I say that in a really dickish way. but I don't look to me as a kid. Like, I was 7 when this game came out. I didn't fucking know any of that Doki Doki shit.
Nope.
Like, there's no way I would have known. I just took the game at face value where it's like, all right, I played that Mario game and it was fucking fun. I will try this. Mm-hmm. And I played it and I was like, this is fucking fun.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun game.
Yeah. Because I think I had my NES for 3 weeks before the Super Nintendo came out. So I never had a full NES experience.
Okay.
I mean, I'd played a little bit at a friend's house, but I never really got to play a lot on my own.
You didn't get the Nesperience.
Yeah, the Nesperience. Okay. But see, and then I'd heard years later because we'll delve into this game more when we do Mario All-Stars, but Lost Levels was supposed to be Mario 2.
Yeah.
And it's awful.
Okay, yeah, let's save that.
Okay.
I have my issues with Lost Levels.
There are reasons why they were like, North America's a bigger market. Let's do a different game for Mario 2 for them.
Yeah, there are reasons, because you're right. The lost levels that are in Super Mario All-Stars is the Japanese sequel to Mario Brothers, mm-hmm. Super Mario Brothers for the Nintendo. They didn't release that in North America because Nintendo of America mm-hmm. thought it was too difficult for American kids.
Yeah, and God, when Mario All-Stars came out, I tried it, and they were right. Good call, Nintendo of America.
It's pretty difficult. It's a lot more difficult than Super Mario Brothers, yeah. 1.
And Mario 2, what we got is a much better game. I feel like in every respect, it is a much better game.
Man, my heart just grew. It just grew. I just felt it grow inside me to hear you say that because I didn't know that's how you felt.
No, I really enjoy Mario Brothers 2. I do. I mean, I can appreciate the underdog departure uh-huh. because of my recently acquired love for The Adventures of Link, which is the sequel to, Legend of Zelda.
That's the black sheep.
Oh, absolutely. Zelda games. Absolutely.
That and Wind Waker. Yeah. Until they remade it.
But I love Zelda 2. When we get to games Tyler loves, well, that'll be on there.
All right. I'm on board.
So I have an appreciation. And I always liked Mario 2. I've never beaten it. I thought it was very, very hard. I would end up like, okay, let's talk. We'll talk strategy because Mario. All right. Mario 2.
Mario 2.
It opens. It's a dream. It's Mario is having a fever nightmare.
And they let you know that up front. Because like people will say, at the end of the game, you realize it's all just a dream. Fuck you. Pay attention at the beginning of the game. They tell you it's a dream right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So none of that shit. You can't discredit Mario 2 because of that. All right. I'm getting defensive. Yeah. Dave is getting upset.
And it opens sort of like almost like a play because the curtain goes out and you pick your character.
Yeah.
And it's so radically different because Mario, Luigi, Princess, and Toad before, and they all have individual characteristics,
yes.
which is a radical departure.
Completely different because in Super Mario Brothers, you had Mario and Luigi. They played identically.
Mm-hmm. Just color swaps, that's
exactly.
it.
But in this game, for the first time, they're different.
Mm-hmm.
They're different not only in appearance. This is the first game where Luigi is tall and Mario is short.
Mm-hmm. And Luigi jumps higher. He's a little slower.
Much higher.
He's harder to control, but, Mario and Luigi are now different.
That motherfucking Luigi can jump. Yeah. He can jump. Mario's just kind of average.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got average speed. He's got an average jump. I think he can jump a little bit higher than
Toad.
But he also picks things up at an average speed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a new thing for Mario Brothers, was picking things up. So they take these three things, speed, jumping, and picking shit up.
Mm-hmm.
And those are like the three characteristics that each character will have. And it'll vary on those three points. Like for instance, Toad, doesn't jump very high. He maintains the same speed, when he picks shit up. And he picks shit up kind of quick.
Mm-hmm.
I played this game last night. I think Toad and Mario are the two most difficult characters in this game.
I agree. I think especially Toad. I can never get very far if I'm playing as Toad.
And
Toad's good for bosses.
Yeah, Toad is excellent for bosses. And I didn't talk about Princess, which in the manual she's Princess Toadstool.
Mm-hmm.
We know her now
as
Princess Peach. But she is super interesting because she can hover.
Mm-hmm.
So Luigi,
a long time.
Luigi jumps high, Princess jumps far because mm-hmm. she can hover for like almost 2 seconds. I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy.
It's a considerable amount to get through. I mean, you can breeze through levels with her. Touch down, jump up, float, touch, jump down. You know, it's rinse and repeat. It's much, much easier.
She was my go-to. She and Luigi were my go-tos when I was a kid. Because I didn't want a challenge when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to access secret areas, which both of those characters do marvelously
mm-hmm.
because they move so much differently than the other characters. And I wanted to get to the game as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to actually beat it. And I knew that using those characters would help me do it.
Yeah, because in this game, because if you really think about everything that was with Mario and then everything that happened in Mario 3, this had to be the game. Mario 2 is essential for developing where Mario has gone.
Well,
cuz it was such a big improvement in like every category. Yes, it's a lot different, but
totally
so much different. New and good shit came out of Mario 2.
It was a huge, huge departure from Super Mario Brothers, and Super Mario Brothers 3 goes back to Super Mario 1 roots. and for obvious reasons. I mean, it was developed originally as a Mario game. But you're right, man. They took a whole bunch of stuff from Mario 2 and just rolled with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like picking stuff up in Mario Brothers 3 and they're on forward and platforming Mario games, you can pick things up.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to a fault in co-op nowadays when you can pick up your party other people. Member. Right.
But it's like, and I would argue that Mario 2 is a little ahead of its time because you lost, you know, the character choices and the different abilities in 3, which 3 is still like one of the best games of all time.
Right.
But then you look back and like where Mario has gone in the future and the qualities that Mario 2 had then are more desirable now and they're almost like standard for innovation now.
Right.
So, I mean, it was just such a big departure, not, you know, as well received, but I think just because it was ahead of its time as far as character choice and different options and how to play the game and every different character, you had tons of replay value if you chose to play through as every different character.
Yeah. Or you could, once you play through the first time and learn all the stages and all the worlds and all the levels, you could then go through and try to do a run where you use the character that's the most optimized for each level.
Mm.
Like, for example, you said Toad is great at bosses. And the reason is he picks shit up so fast that when he fights a boss, usually the way you defeat a boss, of course, is there'll either be mushrooms that you throw at them or they'll spit something at you.
Or like, they're children. Yeah.
The
unfertilized eggs.
I can't wait. I'm going to go ahead.
Okay.
And do you know about Birdo?
What do you mean? I mean, I know of Birdo. I'm familiar with Birdo.
Okay. You fight Birdo at the end of most stages.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you fight? How do you fight Birdo?
Oh, well, Birdo spits eggs at you. You have to jump on, pick up, and throw back at Birdo.
Exactly.
And 3 eggs kills a Birdo.
Exactly. What does Birdo look like?
Yoshi.
Okay.
A pink version of Yoshi, sort of, that's more vertical.
And with a hole on its nose that which it shoots eggs out.
Mm-hmm.
What gender would you say Birdo is?
My American sense is said that Birdo would be female.
But the way that pink. I asked the question implies that that might not be the case.
Yeah, of course, because in Japanese culture, you know, androgyny is a sign of power, and they exactly. like to flip that shit on you. So,
I remember this as a kid, clear as day, and I was playing this last night, and I was talking to Nikki about it, and she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Because I was like, you know, Birdo is a man who thinks he's a woman. And she thought I was joking. I'm not joking. It says that in the manual. It is in print. It says, not verbatim, but it says, Birdo, while Birdo's a guy, he thinks he's a girl. Which just, that's...
The original line trap, Birdo.
Exactly. Well, it's like, how much effort does he have to go into? Like, he shoots so many eggs. Like, he's not producing them. If he's a man, so that means he has to like...
Unless he's like the male seahorse. Unless Birdos are like seahorses.
Well, not to rip off another comedian. I think it's Jim Gaffigan. Why didn't you just call that one the female? Right?
Yeah.
So like, I just imagine like he has to get up really early and he like buys all these giant eggs just crams them down his snooter and then like waits for someone to show up and then he just shoots them out.
He's going to go clock in, standing in front of the eagle's head and just walk forward 5 steps, walk back 5 steps and just wait. That's his life.
So that's a little bit of, I mean, that's trivia.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go so far to say that Birdo's transgendered. Because I think transgendered people, they don't think that... It's not like a man who thinks he's a woman. Right?
No, now we're getting into shady territory.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll drop it.
To my understanding, it's like they were just born into the wrong body.
Right, and that's not Birdo's case.
Yeah.
Because Birdo, he's hypnotized and thinks he's a woman.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They don't say he's hypnotized, but he just thinks he's a woman.
But another thing about Mario 2 is this introduces some... really iconic elements for the rest of the Mario series. Because, like, you don't really... It's a long time before you actually see any Shy Guys, but they were toys, they were in the cartoon, you see them in lots of other... They appear in, like, Mario RPG. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody likes the Shy Guys. They're cute.
Yeah, you know? The character design is awesome. They look like... They look like fucking Jawas with Jason masks on. Doesn't sound adorable, but it is.
But Shy Guys, of course, Birdo. Birdo appears in other games.
Like Mario Tennis. Birdo's real big.
Mm-hmm. And it's Mario RPG.
They never know what to put him on the female or male team. It's weird.
Ba-bombs. I don't think ba-bombs were around before Mario 2. That's like number one people think about ba-bombs.
We wouldn't have sex ba-bomb without that's Mario true. 2.
So there's a lot that if you enjoy the Mario series, you owe a lot of it to Mario 2.
Princess as a hero? Yeah. Come on, man. Like that's
see that again for a
deal.
Long time.
I know.
Yeah. I don't guess we saw that again until maybe Smash Brothers.
Don't get me lying. I think you're right.
Because Mario 3, Super Mario World.
Yoshi's Island.
Yoshi's Island just, Yoshi. I don't think you never even see Princess. And I'm trying to think, like, of course she's a playable character in Smash Brothers. She's a playable character in...
Smash Brothers might have been it. Someone will correct us if we're wrong.
Yeah. Maybe like Mario Tennis and stuff like that where you could actually play as her. But like a traditional Mario game, you don't see her again for a long time after Mario 2.
I mean, in 1988, I really feel like that was a big deal where she goes from she is the damsel in distress, like literally in Super Mario Brothers. And then she goes from that to being a hero in the next game. I I'm not a feminist, clearly, because I'm a man. Can men be feminists? I'm really getting into some really dark territory. Like, not dark, sketchy.
Yeah. Some possible, like, angry call-in, people leaving comments territory. I think so.
Okay. Well, in that case, I am a feminist because I really like Peach being a strong character in video games.
She is my go-to in Smash Brothers. You have Kirby, Peach is my go-to.
And you're good with her.
So I think I originally got that because, like, she was never chosen. So I was like, well... All right, I'm gonna get good as Peach just because I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out she's a really effective character. So, I mean, her Super Smash and Brawl is awful, but...
Which one is that?
That's what I think. Everyone will kind of fall asleep, and then Peaches go all over the place. You can eat your health.
Oh, yeah.
So as opposed to a lot of others, like, it's pretty weak. But this game is different with the heart system, because each character can take multiple hits, and you increase how many hits you can take. And I feel like that is knowing how to get... The bonus hearts is like critical to success in this game. And that's where I faltered because eventually you pick up a magic potion.
Yes.
You throw it down. Yes. It creates a door to the shadow plane.
Yeah. Which is really cool. It's like the subspace.
Yeah.
Because that when that door appears, you throw the potion at the ground, which really doesn't make sense because potion, you normally drink a potion. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going
you
on just, there.
Yeah. You smash it on the ground.
Smash it on the ground. Maybe that's a test. What happens if you drink it? That's what I want to know.
The door opens up in your stomach. You get sucked into it.
I used to think about that as a kid. Because, like, what if you had that potion and you drank it? Surely you would, not to freak Jacob out, who has the belly button fear, but, like, surely, like, you would get sucked into your own belly button and disappear, right?
And live the rest of your life in the shadow plane.
Because
when you go in, it's the inverse of the current level you're in. No enemies.
Right.
Everything's black. You can still pick stuff up and you get coins instead of, like, turnips. But then as you eventually find a mushroom, when you pick up the mushroom, you get an extra heart container, which is an extra hit you can take.
And you get bigger. If you only have one heart, you're small, like you're in Super Mario Brothers 1. The second you pick up a mushroom, it makes you larger and you get a second hit point.
Yeah.
It fills up you get a heart container essentially and it fills it up.
But normally, like in earlier levels, as soon as you get it, you throw it down. That's where the mushroom is. So in later levels, you have to know where to go to throw the potion down to find the life up mushroom.
It's usually around the tufts. It's usually around the tufts of grass that you see.
Okay.
Because those are the tufts that you normally pull vegetables up in the real world. But when you throw that nega potion down and you go to the subspace.
That's a good word.
Like you said, they turn into coins and there's usually a mushroom around there. Like that's where that's where you know to start looking. Or you could be just a brat like me. When I was 7, I had that red and yellow paperback book. There were two of them. And it was the unofficial Nintendo strategy guide.
See, I didn't have that.
Yeah, where it was essentially the what game facts were in 1989, where it's just text writing on how to beat games.
And then it involves, you also have to, at one point, I believe in like the desert level, where you'll pick up the key and the masks will chase you.
Phanto.
The same one where you pick up the potion and go jump in one of those, the long vases. And that's how you access warps in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of the warps, I think honestly, all of the warps, I think are accessed by throwing one of the nega potions.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're in the subspace, you go down a vase and it'll warp you.
Yeah.
That's how I got to the game as a kid, was using all the warps.
Yeah, because I think I only knew of like two for that.
There are two really big ones, just like in most Mario games. You know, they have more than two warps, But knowing the two big ones will get you to the end of the game.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. I played this game a lot as a kid. This was one of the few games that I owned. And so when summertime would roll around, I was playing this game a lot. And I was checking that red book to find all the warps. Mm. This is probably one of the first games I ever beat, to be honest. In that, because I beat this before I beat the first Super Mario Brothers. I beat the first Super Mario Brothers like way, way, way later because I could never get to the fucking castle at the end.
All the maze. Yeah.
I was good at coloring book mazes, Tyler, but like 2D scrolling mazes, you fucking get about it.
But let's see. We talked about Birdo. Birdo is at the end of every stage. You have to fight Birdo. Mm-hmm. Not very complicated, usually. Mm-hmm. You'll get the pink Birdo that, you know, three eggs thrown at it. You'll occasionally get the green Birdo, which between eggs will throw fireballs that you just have to evade. But then there are the big bosses
right.
in the game.
Which I love. I think the character designs of these bosses are great. Mm-hmm. I do have a criticism, and that is that you have to fight each of them twice. They are reused. Mm. Which is kind of a shame because I feel like they're so well designed. I would have rather have seen three more original ones.
Yeah. Because let's see, there's Mouser.
Mouser, you know, who is the
mouse with the radical sunglasses.
God, that motherfucker's so rad. I mean, holy shit, dude. Holy shit. He looks like he's like a take on Danger Mouse, right? Because like not only is he a rad dude, but like he's fucking throwing bombs.
Bombs left and right, constantly. You have to build a little wall out of the solid mushrooms and then jump over it and throw the mushrooms at him. Oh, hit him.
You gotta catch his, if you're good, you catch his bombs and throw it right back at him, which gets tough later on when you fight him the second time because he's just master. He's a master bombsman.
Let's see, then there's the Hydra.
Yes. Triclide.
Because I didn't know his name.
Yeah, it's like Triclide.
Three-headed snake man.
His name is misspelled in the credits, by the way, if anyone's wondering.
Why does it say in the credits?
Shit, I knew you would ask me that because I think it's try with a Y. So it's like try your hardest.
Hey, try Clyde.
Yeah, try Clyde when it's actually supposed to be try as in, you know,
three heads. Because then he just constantly is spitting fireballs at you. So you have to time it to get in between those and hurl the
mushroom
the
blocks.
Solid mushrooms at him, yeah.
Or what I used to love doing, and I imagine you probably do too, because I know you like to play defensively. Mm-hmm. I would get such a kick out of taking those mushroom blocks and just constructing a wall because the blocks will they'll stop his fireballs. Yeah. So I just got such a big kick as a kid just building this stack of mushroom blocks four high and then just standing there because he couldn't get any fireballs. So I'd go eat a sandwich just in my mind that pissed him off.
But let's see, who else besides Mouser and Triclide?
You've got Mouser, you've got Triclide, you've got Wart, of course.
Mm-hmm.
He's the big bad at the end.
Which I think he's made an appearance in like one other game.
Has he? Which one?
In Link's Awakening for Game Boy. He is the frog that teaches you the frog song.
Holy shit, I forgot about that. That's really bad. That's my favorite Zelda game. I should know that.
Go away, because it doesn't say his name is Wart, but his character illustration is very, very similar.
I'm looking that up right now. I feel like such an idiot. The important thing is that all these bosses, you have to defeat using the mechanic that's special to Super Mario Brothers 2. And that is all of these bosses, you defeat by picking something up and hurling it at them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm such a fucking poser. I'm looking up the third boss. Because I can't fucking remember.
Yeah, because I can't remember. I can't either. Because I probably didn't get that far. Because I remember warping ahead and getting to wherever you go and think you're going to get a turnip, but instead you get a rocket ship. You pick up the buried rocket ship that launches you into like the cloud level, and I don't think I could really get much past that.
Right. I forgot. I found him finally. I mean, you can kick me off the show if you want. I feel like I should have known this. It's the giant. There's a giant fireball. Who's a boss? I forgot him because he's not really interesting.
Is a fireball with sunglasses?
Well, kind of. It kind of looks like he's wearing like a half mask.
Oh,
it's not really a half mask, but it kind of looks like it. And another reason I don't really remember him so much is because he was easily skipped with warps.
Yeah, like that's probably why I don't remember him either. I probably never fought him because I just went over him.
There's also, I also forgot about the giant crab. Also, I believe easily skipped by warps. So I take back, I take back what I said.
The original character designs.
Yeah. Man, I feel I don't know if I want to go on anymore. I'm being honest. I feel like I've let Super Mario Brothers 2 down.
Mm-hmm. We're giving it praise, which I think is more than most people give it.
All right. Okay. But that crab was awesome too. I forgot all about him. He would pick. He's a giant crab, reminiscent of the original Mario Brothers. Not co-op, versus game. You know, the arcade game where the crabs would come out of the pipes? Yeah. He's reminiscent of those crabs, except he's huge, and he picks up boulders and throws them at you.
I didn't even know that was the original Mario Brothers. I didn't know that was a thing. I just thought, like, they make a game based off of the what you fight each other in Mario 3 when you cross over each other.
Like the first time you saw it. Yeah. No, it was kind of the same way, too. And when I played it, I was like, this is nowhere near as fun as Super Mario Brothers 3. And then someone took me to school and was like, listen, motherfucking kid, this came out so much earlier than Super Mario Brothers 3. You fear and respect this game.
I guess we also didn't talk about in the Shadow Plane, when you pick up the coins are used for this slot machine mechanic between levels to get you extra lives.
Yes.
I do not understand the slot machine. Oh, I would press the buttons as quickly as I can, and somehow I would usually get lives.
Yes, that's the way to do it. That's all you need to know. Because here's the deal, man. If it starts with a cherry, like if the first slot winds up cherry, it doesn't matter what the other fucking two are. You automatically get one up.
Okay.
And so what happens, my strategy would always be, if I can just get one, if I can just get the cherry first once, just spam that button. Just spam it so that I can hit it exactly and get the cherry again, and you're set.
Okay.
If you get three stars, I think you get five up. I think you get five.
Because I haven't seen that mechanic again until the Wii U Super Mario 3D Land, of course. And that's another little side thing you can go to trying to do the slot machines. Mm-hmm. But we always fuck that up every time.
Do we have time for me to tell a story?
Yeah.
That's Super Mario Brothers 2 related.
Yep.
I know this is a little bit of a departure, but we've been really hitting it hard, and we've been like just fucking facts up left and right. So let's take a break from that.
Okay.
Before I owned this game, Tyler, I knew a kid a block down the street. Mm-hmm. Babysitter Megan lived across the street, and this was second grade kid. He lived just one block
perpetually
down.
In second grade. Yeah,
poor guy. I mean, it depends how you look at it. He can't get a blowjob to save his life, but regardless, I was in kindergarten, Tyler. And he was in second grade.
Mm.
That usually doesn't mix, right?
No. Nope.
When you're in second grade, mm-hmm. you'll be goddamned if you hang out with a kindergartner. Yep. That shit is not happening. But I caught wind that he had Super Mario Brothers 2, and I really wanted to play it. So I don't do this often. You know me, right? I don't like to
talk to people.
I don't like to talk to people. I certainly don't like my mouth to touch another person's mouth because, as you know, I'm afraid of mouths.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I totally went out of my way to be like super nice to this guy and like do anything he wanted, anything, because I wanted to play Super Mario Brothers 2 so bad. And we would play together. So everything was working out. Our relationship, I would say our relationship was pretty perfect. It was pretty perfect. Until one day we were playing and I picked up a one-up mushroom because the mushroom says on it, it has written on it, mm-hmm. one-up. I picked it up and I said, "One up." And he looked at me and he said, "One up is a bad word." And I lost my mind. I totally bought it. And like I thought about all the times I had said one up, and like I'm like nervous, you know, like I've got my hands up to my mouth, and I'm like trying to think of all the times I've said it, and did I say it in front of my mom? And this was like a week after she slapped me for saying bastard, and when we were watching Batteries Not Included. So I was like, I can't do this. Please no. So like I broke down in this young boy's living room and just started crying. Like, I mean, like face pressed down in the carpet crying. Like this, my world was over, man. It was just, I was donezo. And this kid clearly, I mean, quintessential second grader, did not give a fuck that I was just like being scarred for life. He's laughing. His mom has to come in and like calm me down, and like I'm babbling to her that I didn't mean to say it. And she's like, "Say what?" So from there, things got better. She explained to me that one-up's not a bad word. She scolded her son in front of me and then never saw him again. I left, and apparently she called my mom on my way back home. I'm sorry. I'm getting broken up. On my way home, and she explained to her what happened. And the first thing that happened when I walked in was like, my mom was like, "You're never going over there again.
I'll buy you the game. You're never going over there again."
Yeah, maybe that's why I got it. I never really put that together. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. Now we got to find that kid on Facebook.
I don't even remember that guy's name. My mom, though, man, I bet I can ask her and she will tell me. We can find this guy and invite him on the show.
Yep. And we just got ground and then just into the ground.
Get him to swear on the mics, like just repeatedly. Just
constantly.
And then just like send it to all his work references. And we'll hope that he's running for office.
Let's see. So in terms of difficulty, how do you feel this compares to a lot of other Marios?
Difficult. I think this game is difficult.
Yeah.
Compared to Mario, Super Mario Brothers 1 and Super Mario Brothers 3, I think this is definitely the hardest one.
Yeah, 3 I feel like it was a solid level of difficulty in 3.
I think 3 was difficult. 3. But the problem with, well, I shouldn't say the problem. I think the reason that 3 was less difficult was because everyone loved 3. And like when 3 came out, like the hype was just, I mean, so built up that I feel like everyone got Super Mario Brothers 3.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like less people own Super Mario Brothers 2. I don't have facts to back that up, but I certainly remember more talk about Super Mario Brothers 3 strategy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that game came out, and dude, I knew about Warp Whistles like 3 days later.
Okay, that's fair.
Like, I had to use the shitty red book to learn the warps.
You can break that rock. What? How can you break that rock? You get a hammer. Where the fuck do you get a hammer? The Hammer Brothers?
Certainly not from one of the turtles that has a hammer.
Oh, well, because we had talked about Mario All-Stars being like, there are so many games that all deserve to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of have to break them down, and then we'll talk about the assemblage and probably lost levels when we get to Mario All-Stars on the list. But 1, 2, and 3 all deserve their own episodes.
Oh, I agree.
As opposed to like 10 minutes of brief talk and the mashup that is Mario All-Stars.
I agree. Let's do it. Let's do a Other Shit Monday for each Super Mario Brothers game.
That is good.
For the Nintendo, at least.
Except for Lost Levels. Fuck that. We'll talk about Lost Levels
on the Super All-Star. Mario All-Stars. Yeah. Yeah. Which is going to seem like that's going to make it seem like we really hate Super Mario All-Stars.
That's fine. I don't think it should be on the list, so I'm fine with that.
It is a compilation game.
Yeah. And
none of the games for it are original.
Nope. I mean, I get a game being multi-platform, cool.
Mm-hmm.
A game that is just, like, I would just be pissed off if people are talking about the best PS3 games and, like, the winner is the God of War collection. It's like, no.
Right.
No.
Right. That is a collection.
Yeah. So that's right. The same way I look at that. This, it just shouldn't be. No, thank you.
I'm with you.
But, and then I admire Nintendo for always trying to be innovative and changing up the formula. Sometimes it doesn't work as well commercially,
mm-hmm.
like with Mario 2 and with Zelda 2. But I admire how they try to innovate. Nowadays, I know the Wii U is not doing very well because Nintendo is like, while they're always willing to innovate with gameplay, it's all their other elements of their business they're very stubborn with.
Right.
So I feel like that's crippling them now.
It certainly is.
So like I know the 3DS friend codes and shit like that.
It's so hand-holdy. Like
era.
It's just, yeah.
Just, no, just let it go.
I know. Let's stop protecting the children. That's my political stance.
Yeah.
Stop protecting the children.
every time I go to save, and because I started Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds for 3DS, and of course, it's constantly like, you've been playing a while, you should probably stop now. Fuck you.
Let me play my game. Or I'm surprised it doesn't pop up and say, ask your mom or dad if you can continue playing this game. I feel like we need to wrap this up soon, right?
We're 47 minutes in.
Okay, so probably.
Yeah.
I haven't talked about, you've mentioned it briefly, but one of the weirdest things about this game that I love so much is after you beat Birdo and before you play the slot machine,
mm-hmm.
You go into a giant falcon's mouth.
After Birdo vomits up a crystal ball.
Well, right. I'm sorry. That is a very crucial point. Once you have the crystal ball that was Birdo's stomach, the giant falcon head, which is mounted on the wall, it's not a full falcon. It's just his face. Opens his mouth really wide. And you just walk right on in there.
Yep.
Play the slot machine and then you're on.
But let's see. We should probably talk about Wart. I've never gotten to Wart. You tell me about the boss.
Okay. The boss is incredibly awesome. He is incredible. He's not as rad as Mouser.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, is he pretty sweet.
No one is except like Rad Dog. So
Rad Dog? I don't know.
Do you remember it was the white dog that had the sunglasses like that?
I thought he was Rude Dog.
You're right, Rude Dog. My bad.
Rude Dog, but I feel like there's a niche that we need to fill with Rad Dog. So I think we might have just created a character. All right, step one, invent Rad Dog. Step two, find a time machine.
Yeah, go back.
Step three, go back to 1980. Let's make it early. Well, not too early because we don't want to be too ahead of our time. Fuck.
Well, see, Rad Dog, I feel like you can go back. Simpsons did it because Poochie is also, you could call Poochie Rad Dog and be totally fine.
Let's just rip the Simpsons off. Let's just get in there like 1 year before the Simpsons started and just let's just travel back with the DVDs. and I guess a player.
we come back with a DVD.
No, you've watched all of these, right? No. I'm sure we can find him online. Fuck. but Wart, man, he is obviously the sovereign ruler of this land because he has a crown. He's very, I wouldn't call him stately, but he's definitely kingly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There is this giant machine that is producing vegetables. And I'm not sure why. But as you know, we all give other people the means to destroy us, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who said that, but someone did. Or an approximation, something like that. Wart is no exception. He has this machine that he's running that creates vegetables, like turnips and whatnot. But Wart doesn't like vegetables because he's a monster. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, monsters don't like vegetables or milk. So what he will do is Wart will open his mouth and he'll spew these, what I can only imagine are acid bubbles at you. And what you have to do is avoid the acid bubbles and grab one of the vegetables that this machine is spewing out and then manage to throw it into Wart's mouth, which is still open from spewing the acid bubbles, which is difficult without practice.
Yeah.
Because first of all, you have to learn his pattern, right? And where the acid bubbles are going to go. Then you have to really hope that machine produces the vegetable that you need at the right time. And then if you throw it, like if you throw the turnip and it hits one of the acid bubbles, turnip's gone, bro. Sorry. Wow. Try again.
Okay.
But I honestly feel like once you learn them, just like any boss, once you learn them and you figure the fight out, it's just a matter of executing it.
Okay.
But still, man, that's, name me another game that does something like that. Like that is, it is a ridiculous boss fight. It is ridiculous. It's just the concept of it is so different from like anything even today. It's crazy.
See, and it reminds me of somebody left a 5-star review asking us to do this game. And I played the game as a kid called Monster Party.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about this. Someone asked us to do Super Mario Brothers too.
Oh, no. But someone left a review asking us, like, you should do Monster Party. Because Monster Party is also like, where this formula of ridiculousness works, Monster Party is a game where the ridiculous is just like, what the fuck? To where you're a kid with a baseball bat and you're trying to beat down like shrimp tempura and onion rings, and then you're a demon for some reason, and then...
Yep. I wouldn't have known that without the internet, because I rented that game as a kid.
Oh, man.
And I remember thinking, this game is so awesome! However... I don't think I could get past the first little area.
Oh, it's so fucking hard. That game was fucking hard.
That game beat my ass into the ground.
Because I've watched Angry Video Game Nerd try to play it. And it's one game. Like,
it's a good
video.
He got
to the end and he was like, nope. Fuck it. Fuck this game.
It's a good video. Show notes.
So we should eventually do, like, because it was both a part of our childhood, eventually, I think, another Shit Monday, we should force ourselves to replay Monster Party.
Let's do it.
See how far we can get and then talk about it.
Let's do it. I'm all for it. I can't promise you it's going to be Angry Video Game Nerd quality, though.
No, no. I mean, but it's audio.
I can't bring it like he does.
Get enough cups of coffee.
Yeah, I need like 16 cups of coffee and then I'll do it.
All right, I've got some achievements.
You have achievements?
I do.
What you got?
All right. The first one is the quicker picker upper.
Okay.
Cool. And that is pick up, throw, and defeat enemies with 30 turnips as Toad.
Okay. Awesome. I dig it. Sponsored by Bounty.
And let's see. The Cosmic Superhighway, which you get for just using a warp, finding and using a warp.
I love that too.
And then Baxter Stockman.
Man, you are just fucking, man, you were just bringing it home, dude.
Baxter Stockman is, you get that for defeating Mouser without taking any damage.
Nice. Holy shit, man. I'm not even going to, I have a few. I'm not even going to do them. I don't think I can't live up to that. I promise that I had a name for this last night, this achievement last night, but I can't fucking remember it. So can we do a first? Can you help me come up with the name of this achievement? Mm-hmm. I had two favorite things to do as a kid playing this game. First favorite thing, when you kill Birdo, like we talked about, his stomach turns into a crystal ball. Mm-hmm. This crystal ball falls from where Birdo was because Birdo's mm-hmm. taller than the crystal ball. So what I would always do was I would try to time the killing blow of Birdo. I would try to get on top of the crystal ball before it hit the ground. Mm. And I could do it.
Because you can't catch things. You have to be on top of it and pick them up, even if they're in the air.
Well, you can, because you can catch things that are in the air. But the problem is the crystal ball is lower than your character is. So there's no way you can catch the crystal ball. You have to, in order to grab it before it hits the ground, you have to jump on top of it and pick it up. And you've got like, there's just a slim window in which you can do it.
The 5 second rule.
5 second rule. All right. Thank you. The second, I mean, this is like, this, I did this. Like this, what achievements are now, achievements are so brilliant because kids were doing it years before they existed, because I would do this 5 second rule. That was an achievement that I created for myself when I played this game. The other one is that Falcon mouth mm-hmm. that opens. My goal would be, this one's easier, to get on top of the Falcon head, on top mm-hmm. of the Falcon mouth before it opened.
Okay.
It's really a ridiculous thing. It doesn't serve any purpose, but it was just a little goal I made where it's like every time I got to get on top of that Falcon head before it opens.
I was like that Mario 3 when you beat a Koopa Kid, or not a Koopa, yeah, a Koopa Kid. You had to grab the wand out of the air before it touched the ground.
Yep. It's exactly that shit, which I have a name for that one. It's called Nice Catch. But I don't have an achievement for jumping on the Falcon's mouth. How about it's called Jumping on the Falcon's Mouth? Because why not?
Or the Cards Against Humanity card, Falcon with a hat.
Yeah, because you're the hat, Tyler. Yeah. That's brilliant. Coffee. Let's just cut that and send it to the Big Coffee. See if we get a check.
Hi, Folgers.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Buddy, I've had a sterling time recording this.
I knew you would. It's one of your favorite games.
Holy shit. I could talk more about this game, and I imagine that we probably will, whether you like it or not. However, I feel like it's the time of the show where I need to ask you a very important question. Mm-hmm. We don't like numbers, clearly. Mm-mm. So we never want to like give a number to a game. Because we don't know numbers. But we do know two things. One of those things that we know, Tyler, we know beards. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you were to give this game a beard that lets the world know what it's all about, what kind of beard would you give this game?
This would be it's gold. It's made of gold. A golden Captain Lou Albana's mustache and 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Captain Lou Albana being Mario from the Mario Brothers Super Show.
Of course, everyone knows that.
Yeah, yeah. Because I recently watched the episode where he says "fuck" and they let it slide by.
Is he really? It kind of sounds like
questionable. It is certainly questionable.
Show notes, and we'll let the listener decide.
It's like the Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where you think you hear Daffy Duck
yep.
cursing. Yep. So,
man, I remember losing my shit when I think the gorilla in that movie says damn or something like that. Whew, man, that was the crazy to hear a cartoon character swear.
Yeah.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses mm-hmm. that just told the world what it was all about, mm-hmm. what kind of glasses would you give it?
I'd have to, just because it's the glass that holds back the sheer magical power. I give these Magic Koopas black rimmed magical glasses.
Okay. God, you're on point tonight. I'm glad you brought your A game. I wish I would have. That would have been nice for everybody listening.
I'm not that good. You're just in a good mood.
Man, I'm in fucking coffee, dude. I'm telling you. Just wait until I start mixing Baileys into it. which is a day away.
Yeah. Saturday.
Yay.
By the way, we're recording on Friday. That's why we say Saturday.
No, it's just our favorite day. Like sometimes I'll be at work. It'll be a Tuesday. I'll call you up at 2 o'clock. Saturday.
But I feel normally mm-hmm. now
yeah.
is when we would talk about phone calls.
All right, let's
we would
do
take
it.
Phone calls.
Let's do it. I'll get it set up.
Well, we are about to hit an hour right now.
Right. Okay.
And we've been, because we love our fans. We always appreciate feedback, and we're trying to constantly refine the show and make it better, get more listeners, improve the show.
Your tone indicates you're about to give me bad news, Tyler.
It's not bad news, but it's just...
That's what your parents say before they get divorced, Tyler.
Dave, we need to talk to you.
Fuck, dude. Don't do this to me on Super Mario Brothers 2.
No, I got to. But normally, like, I think generally people regard podcasts as an hour being that's the perfect time. Mm-hmm. And we've been increasingly going over the hour, which I think is fine to our hardcore fans, our most, you know, the fans who most appreciate what we do. But trying to get more fans in, or some people who just enjoy Tadpog a little more casually, like once we go to like an hour 20 minutes, we're really pushing it for them. So I think we're really trying to keep it more succinct at an hour. And I think what's really pushes us way over is the calls.
Yeah.
Because today, we had
21 minutes
worth of calls.
Which is fucking amazing.
Yes.
Which is like really makes me feel like we're doing our job,
yeah.
you know? And I really like the calls, and I like interacting with everybody.
I love the calls. I like taking the calls. I like talking about it. But if the calls alone were 21 minutes, and then plus our commentary and then any tangents,
we don't have time to talk about anything else.
We couldn't talk about anything else. So what? Because we definitely don't want to lose the calls. We want to do something with the calls.
Yeah.
So we're not going to do calls today. If clearly we're already at an hour, uh-huh. you know, an hour, we're going to go a little over.
We don't know what to do, do we? That's what you're trying to say.
We have some ideas.
Yeah. Well, we're not ready to share them though, right?
Well, we could talk about it. We could spitball some stuff, see what listeners think, and try to figure out something.
All right. Okay.
Because we don't exactly want to do a third. We feel like another episode just dedicated to calls would be
too much. I feel like we're already cramming too much Tadpog down here, down your ear holes.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Yeah. I feel like two is good, yeah. talking about the SNES game and then something else. That's good.
Two is our limit until we level up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're not close.
No, I think we're pretty far away.
So, and I know some people, like, we love the calls. Some people, a lot of listeners, we got a lot of feedback about the calls.
Yeah.
So we also thought about maybe starting our own YouTube channel, and that's where we do the calls. We can bring on guest hosts on the YouTube channel. That way it's a little more casual. We can come in, we can make it more about the calls, make it more about the funny instead of trying to hit games.
Because
a lot of the calls aren't about
games.
Right. People tell us stories that are funny. So maybe we just do the YouTube and it just be funny. We don't have to particularly nail it to games.
Well, let's put funny, like, can we do air quotes? Make it funny?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, because I can't guarantee that it's going
to
be funny.
Because we don't want to screen calls and then try to figure out who gets to be on the show and who doesn't. And that opens a whole other can of worms. We want everyone who calls in to be, you're calling us in. We appreciate that. That's what we want to do.
Let's do it.
So we don't want to alienate anybody. We don't want to, you know, it's a sticky situation.
And it's not really, this is not an issue of the quality of the calls.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it really isn't. This is more, we've gotten some, I feel like, genuine criticism from some longtime listeners that the calls aren't for everybody.
Yeah.
They're not for everybody. Some people really enjoy them, but other people don't. And since this is a video game podcast, even with other Ship Mondays and just the sheer volume of calls that we've got, I think it's a good idea to find another.
Because we don't want to cut it. We don't want to get rid of it. We right. still want to do something with it. But what should we do with it?
You're not asking me, are you? Right?
No, I'm okay, just saying. Okay, good. That's our quandary.
Because clearly I don't fucking know. I already told you already, Tyler.
So, listener, let us know what you think. Let us know your opinion about the calls.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think, how you would like to listen to those. Throw us some ideas. Help us work on our show.
We're 100% open mm-hmm. to suggestion. Because it's not really our show. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we do it. But it's everyone's show.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, because we do, like, I think that we really try to keep an open mind and take suggestions. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're here right now.
Because we're constantly, even we got comments about how the show has evolved, you know, since we started it. So yeah. it's going to be a constant process. The only staple really being about the podcast is that it's about games.
And masturbation.
Right. And buttholes.
Those three things. That's our holy trinity. Old ass video games, masturbation, and buttholes. Let's put that on a shirt.
Draw like the Triforce of Tadpog.
Right, exactly.
I have the Triforce of buttholes.
Excuse me, sir. I believe that's a piece of the Triforce.
Piece of the Triforce.
I have a piece of the masturbation Triforce. I didn't find it. I earned it.
Stamped in the back of your hand like Zelda, Ganon, and Link.
I was thinking like Bioshock Infinite. Instead of AD, I've just got like a crude drawing of a dick coming. Oh, he wears the mark of the sinner. Well, we're already over an hour, so fuck.
Yep. So again, email us your suggestions, tyler@tadpog.com, dave@tadpog.com. You can call us. We'll still listen to them if you want to call us and tell us.
Yeah.
Send us a Facebook message, tweet at us. However, you know, let us know. Let us know what you think. We're certainly open to everything everyone has to say.
Please. Please.
Even if it's like, you guys should just fuck off and die, we'll take that into consideration.
I don't want to see that. Like, you can send that email to Tyler, because unless I have 8 cups of coffee in it, I can't handle that.
So thanks for listening, everybody. Well, no, I should thank people first. Let me run around thanking people.
We're not going to cut that out.
No, we're not going to cut the things.
We're not going to be total assholes.
So for Facebook shares, Color Mage Phil, thank you. Thank you, Color Mage Phil. Exalted Lord Mike of Purdue. Marquis Link, Kevin Link, somebody, Wendy Eastman, made a comment on Link's share that she was obsessed and heard it off. We think that's good. We're going to take it as good. Thank you, Wendy.
I need to right now. I'm very fragile and thin skinned. Ever since I learned that one up was a bad word, my world has never been the same.
Marques Nicole, Troubadour's Megalixir.
Thanks, guys.
Lord Dennis. And for Twitter, Marques Nicole, Archivist Cute Butt.
Yes.
Chandra Nitschit, Impresario Tony, Exalted Lord Micah, Baron Drew Rowland, Prosecutor Kyle Gilday, and Correspondent Laura Ammons. 2 5-star reviews. We're very appreciative.
Yes, thank you.
Yuki's cousin. Thank you, Yuki's cousin. Very much appreciated. You're entered in the drawing for something.
We're going to be giving away phone calls. We got plenty of them.
And CNAPS. CNAPS was the one I believe made the Monster Party comment. But 5-star review, as to Monster Party. Cool. All right. That's one way to request a game.
Oh, shit.
Is to give us a 5-star review and say the game that you want.
All right.
We'll listen.
It might not be the best way.
But it is a way.
It is in the top two. I'd say the first way, send us the game. Sorry, Lord Matt.
We're getting there, Matt.
You sent us several and we're fucking assholes.
We're getting there. We're working on it. We are going to do them.
Second best way, write a 5-star review on iTunes and just name what game you want to talk about.
I think that's fair. Yep.
I really do. You cool with that?
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Are we committed?
Yeah.
Okay. We're committed.
And so we blow up like 1,200 reviews.
I'm fine with that. You bet. At least you know what we're doing.
Mike makes 1,200 accounts and just asks us to do all these wrestling games. Every wrestling game there's ever been for any system.
Clearly that's unethical.
Yeah, but thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode. We will be talking about IGN's 43rd? Gradius 3.
Yeah, it's Gradius 3. Whatever it is, whatever rank it is.
Number.
Does it really matter? Does it really matter? Does it really matter?
Today it doesn't.
In 50 years, we're all going to be dead, Tyler. Does it really matter where Radius 3 falls on IGN's list?
I'll be 79. I think I'll be alive.
It's illegal to bet on that, isn't it?
I think, well, I explained to you that I'll explain right, okay. this.
Off the mics.
My next story will be okay. me explaining my death theory.
Okay. Oh, perfect.
Okay. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe, give the show a rating, write a 5-star review. Sometimes we give stuff out. It's a good way to communicate with us.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, guys. As always, we'll be back next week talking about death and why it doesn't matter what Gradius is ranked on IGN's list.
Tad Puck talks about nihilism.
We should do a nihilism episode. I don't know anything about it beyond the Big Lebowski, so my contribution is going to be really fucking short. We're going to be back next week talking about some shit. In the meantime, you can find us at tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. We're going to have all kinds of rad links in there for mm-hmm. everybody. You can also find us on Facebook. We're on facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people doing a lot of cool shit on there, mm-hmm. Giving us a lot of feedback about whether or not they want to listen to calls. Also, Tyler, we're on Twitter. Our Twitter army is small but hungry.
They're it's fierce.
They're hungry, and they do an amazing job of helping us promote the show. Mm-hmm. And we've already thanked them, but I want to thank them all again mm-hmm. very much. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at tadpog_podcast. Not only do we read all the tweets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And obsess over them.
And I also have written down my favorite ones, and I'm working on a giant back piece.
Yeah, nice.
So I'll post pics to that.
That's just me writing on Sharpie on your back.
don't give away trade Tadpog secrets. We got a phone number. You can call it.
If you want to.
We don't know.
Please keep calling it. We're going to figure out something.
But in the meantime, just hurl your voice into the chasm that is Tadpog Hotline at 270-883-2555. Operators are standing by,
mm-hmm.
and they'll also be dead in 50 years, Tyler.
They're already pretty old operators. We exclusively hire 80-year-old women.
Well, they are the hottest.
It's true. That's all I got.
Our intro song, Tyler, is Moves mm-hmm. by Sycamore Drive.
It is.
A link to that track can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com. Until next week,
Tropical Capricorn.
Like, I swear to you, dude, like, I got back from lunch. I already had 6 cups of coffee. I came back from lunch, and I was like, man, I really want to keep this buzz going. I don't really want coffee, but I don't know. And I had 2 more cups. And then I got home, and I was like, man, I kind of feel like I'm dragging ass a little bit. Better have some coffee.
Are you drinking it black?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because that way, then it's actually good for you then, since you're having it black.
Yeah. But I was going from drinking, let's see, how many? What's 24 times 3? 72. I was going from drinking 72 ounces of water today to 32. So I've cut down on half my water intake and just replaced it with 8 cups of coffee a day.